Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verse 2 tonight. We won't stay there long. It won't be our main text this evening. But it really is the starting point for tonight's message. And so let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye," what? "Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, the Greek verb there that is translated as transformed is actually where we get our English word metamorphosis. And some of our kids, and even those of you may remember back in your school days when you would talk about the transformation of the caterpillar to the butterfly, that process is called a metamorphosis. And that is the Greek verb that is used here when it says that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, we ought to be made completely different, just like what we talked about last week. We ought to be indeed a new creature in Christ, just like that caterpillar changes into the butterfly. But what I really want to focus on tonight is how that transformation takes place. And verse 2, as you see there, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," and here's the key that we're going to be focusing on tonight, "by the renewing of your mind." By the renewing of your mind. And so I'm entitled this evening's message. Last week we looked at a new creature, and this installment in the Transform series I've entitled Mind Control. Mind control, because that is what being transformed is all about. It's about controlling our mind. Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And you know, really the key to this transformation is by training our mind to do the things that are right. Training our mind to think on the right things, and training our mind to dwell on those things which would honor and please the Lord Jesus Christ. But any of you that have been saved for any amount of time, you understand that it's not easy to control your mind, is it? We are born with a fallen nature. We have a sin nature inside of us, and it is very difficult to change that behavior pattern. We want to do the things that are wrong. That's what Paul talks about, right? You know, I do not the things that I should do, and that I should do, I don't do. You know, those are the place in Romans chapter 7 where he goes back and forth. Seems like the things that we know we ought to do, we won't do them. And the things that we know we ought to stay with, seems like the things that we race to. It's a difficult thing to control our mind. You know, when I first started playing the guitar, and I think I've told you this before, but I learned how to play G chord a way different than what I was supposed to play it. I had a chord chart, and I simply let my fingers follow that chord chart, and where I'm sure maybe it's a way that you can play G, with the progressions that come in the chords that normally G is around, there's a better way to play that. But I didn't understand that, and so I just started off with my fingers on those strings like I saw on the chord chart and playing G. And I played it like that for a while. Well, then finally, I got hold of a DVD that would instruct me how to play the guitar, and I realized they had a different way to play G. And let me tell you, it was very difficult to unlearn the old way that I would play G. I think it took me a lot longer to unlearn what I had learned wrong and to correct it than it would have if I had just started out doing that chord the proper way. You know, and in the same way, that is how our minds are. We are bent towards sin, right? We've been living that way, and we've had those behavior patterns inside of us for such a long time. It's difficult to change. And even those who are saved at an early age, I was saved when I was 3 years old. But still, we can create patterns in our life of sin that become very difficult to break. And the only way to keep that from happening, the only way to get control of your mind, is to allow the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to constantly renew your mind. And so that's what Paul is telling us to do. We've trained ourselves to live after the flesh. Now our body is the temple of God, and we need to be a living sacrifice. We need to be different. We need to retrain ourselves, transform ourselves to live for God. But the big question is, how? How do I do that? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I really believe the Lord, I was going to say He's speaking to us out of 2 Corinthians 10. Maybe He's just speaking to me out of 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians rather, tonight. You know, the last three messages that I preached have been from the book of 2 Corinthians. I thought that was interesting. This morning we talked about 2 Corinthians 7 being sorrow, having sorrow before the Lord for our sin. And then last week when we talked about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, that's in 2 Corinthians as well. So the Lord is certainly speaking to us from this book. But I want you to see what we learn here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. This is the how. This is the key. This is how you can renew your mind and take back control. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare, notice the language that's used here. Not a playground, right? But a battleground. This is a warfare. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. My friend, that is the key right there in those two verses to winning the battle for the mind. And as we look at this tonight, I would submit to you that it is crucial. It is necessary that you win the battle for the mind. This is where the battle of the Christian life is fought. It's over your mind. And if we can gain control of our mind and we can rip that control away from our enemy, then we can be successful in our Christian walk and we can please God in our life. You must win the battle for the mind. I love to read C.H. Spurgeon. I like what he says about this. He says, what swarms of rabbits the traveler sees on the commons and fields near Leatherhead. Now that's an area over in England. He says, and yet a few miles further, one scarcely sees a single specimen of that prolific race. He says, the creature is indigenous to both places. But at Leatherhead, he is tolerated and therefore multiplies. While at the other places, the gamekeepers, the hunters, diligently shoot down all that they see. He says, sins, in the same way, are natural to all people, but it makes all the difference whether they are fostered or kept under. The carnal mind makes itself a warren for evil, but a gracious spirit wages constant war with every transgression. Understand, if we want to win the battle for the mind, then we have to hate what God hates, and we have to love what God loves. This will not just take place on its own. You can't just come to Christ and say, all right, I accept your gift of salvation, 1, 2, 3, pray after me, and then sit back and all of a sudden this is just going to happen and you're going to become Billy Graham overnight, right? I think some people have this idea about the Christian life. But listen, it takes vigilance and it takes being alert to those things that wouldn't please God. Just like that one community that has the, you know, plethora of rabbits in England, because nobody hunts them down, and the other one, you can't see any, because they are kept in check. In the same way, you and I need to make sure that sinful thoughts and those things that would war against our soul, that we keep those in check and we don't allow them to get a grip in our mind. But tonight, I want to help you with how you can do this. And I want to pull 3 points right out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, that I believe are going to help us tonight in winning the battle for the mind. First of all, I want you to look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to understand that the battle for the mind, it is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. And if it's a spiritual battle, then it must needs be fought with spiritual weapons. The Bible Knowledge Commentary talks about, as one's mind keeps on being made new, speaking of that renewing of the mind, by the spiritual input of God's Word, prayer, and Christian fellowship, his lifestyle keeps on being transformed. You see, it's reading God's Word, praying, surrounding yourself with good Christian fellowship. See, those are the spiritual weapons that will allow you to wage war against the enemy. Most of you probably know I love those Indiana Jones movies. And if you've seen the most recent one, they're sitting in a soda shop. We find out later that his son, I probably just ruined the plot for some people that haven't seen it. But he's sitting there, and anyhow, there's these two Russian agents, you know, they look real tough, and they walk over, and the young kid, you know, he's been playing with a knife the whole time. And so the agents walk over, and they say, "Hey, come with us right now." And that boy flips out his knife and, you know, flops it all around, you know, and then holds it out to the guy like that. And this guy pulls back his coat, and of course, what does he have under his coat? He has a gun. And Harrison Ford looks at him and says, "Son, I think you just brought a knife to a gunfight." You know, I think in many ways, that's what demons must say about us when we try to fight the Christian warfare. You know, we bring our willpower. You know, we bring I'm going to try my best. But listen, we just brought a knife to a gunfight. You know, I want you to understand tonight, it is a spiritual warfare, and it requires spiritual weapons. You say, well, what are the spiritual weapons that I need to use? It's a familiar passage, but I want us to look at it tonight. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul lays out for us the armor that a believer has. Every one of you who have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have this armor tonight. All that's necessary is for you to put it on when you go into battle against the enemy. Unfortunately, many believers get up every morning and go out into the spiritual warfare with little or no armor surrounding them. But look at the armor that we need in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, here it goes, having your loins girt about with truth, a belt of truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Listen, if you want to win a spiritual battle, then you have to use spiritual weapons. And those weapons that I'm talking about, I hold right here in my hand, the Word of God. This is our sword when it comes to our spiritual warfare. That's why Pastor Eric, a few Wednesday nights ago, pleaded and begged with us to read our Bible every day this year, to make that our resolution. Why is that? Because he knows that this spiritual weapon will help you in your walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. This will help you defeat the enemy. You are in a spiritual battle. You need spiritual weapons. Not only do you need the Word of God, you need prayer. Pastor, that is a physical battle. We may have to use some physical weapons in that. But in your spiritual battle, don't bring a knife to a gunfight, amen? You could have all the willpower in the world. That's not going to help you fight in this battle for the mind. Okay? You need the Word of God. You need prayer. You need to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I preach through the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 speaks about how we don't have to sin anymore because we have the Spirit inside of us. You know, as believers, we don't have to give in to sin. We simply must tap into that power that God has given us and be able to take back control of our mind. It's a spiritual battle, and it takes spiritual weapons. And I want you to understand, just like when I learned G chord wrong, let me tell you, I had to play G chord the right ways many times over and over and over. And my friend, that's what you will have to do in order to use your spiritual weapons effectively. You'll have to go to the Bible again and again and again. Make a habit of using it as your resource. Read it every day. Same thing with prayer. Make prayer a regular part of your life. Tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you walk in the Spirit and be able to fight against the devil. In my Sunday school class, when I was in Jacksonville, Florida, on the year that I was out of Trinidad, one of the guys that was in the class, he was training to be a police officer. As he went through the weapons training, the teachers impressed on him how important it was for him to practice shooting. They wanted him to practice over and over again, taking that gun out of that holster and pointing and shooting. They wanted him to do it again and again because a police officer needs to be able to draw his weapon quickly. When he's out there and a criminal has pulled a gun on him, that's not the time to be figuring out how to pull the gun out of the holster and aim it, right? And they wanted him to practice that as many times as he could. They told him, and he shared this with the Sunday school class, he said, studies show that something must be practiced 3,000 to 5,000 times before it becomes instinct. And we wonder why we lack in our Christian walk. I wonder how many of us have read the Bible 3,000 days in a row. I don't think I can say that. You see, we bring a knife to a gunfight. It's a spiritual battle, and we need to bring our spiritual weapons. Make a habit of getting into the Word of God. Pray every day. Retrain your brain so that you can take back control of your mind. Not only do you need to understand that we need spiritual weapons, but I want you also to understand we need something that I like to call an imagination check. An imagination check. If you would, go back to 2 Corinthians, if you left there to go to Ephesians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The word that is used there, as imagination, it's where we get our English word logic. It really has the idea of reasoning thoughts that would be against what God would teach in the Word of God. So an intellectualism that believes that you're smarter than what God says. That's the kind of vain imaginations that Paul is speaking of here. He had to deal with this as there were false teachers that would come into the church of Corinth. And you know, in the same way today, we have false teachers that surround us in our world today. We have Jehovah's Witness. We got Mormons. We got everything down here in Trinidad, just about. You need to make sure that you have an imagination check that will make sure that the wrong kind of thinking, the wrong kind of reasoning about who God is and what He has revealed about Himself, make sure that you don't allow that to enter into your lifestyle. You know, on my computer at home, I have something called a virus check. How many of you have computers and you run some kind of virus check on them? You know what I'm talking about? You press a button, or some of them are set to automatic. Mine runs automatically when I'm not doing things. And it will go through the files of the computer, and it will see if there's anything that's malicious in the files and in the documents that my computer contains. And if it finds something that would, you know, be a virus and would destroy my computer, it quarantines it. It puts it separate so that it can't affect other files, and then it'll bring up a message and say, you know, what do you want to do with this? Do you want to delete it, or do you want to do this, or whatever it may be? You know, in much the same way, just like that virus checker will run through the files of a computer to see if there's anything that's malicious or anything that would cause damage to the computer, we need to have an imagination check, a thought check that is built into us that goes through our thought processes and the ways that we view things and how we give credibility to things we see on TV or things you hear from people that are from other religions that don't teach the Word of God. You need to have an imagination check that will run through those things and make sure that there's nothing creeping into your life that gives a false picture of who Jesus Christ is and who God is, or gives a false picture as to the place of the Bible and God in your life. We need that imagination check in order to win the battle for the mind, because, you know, many times the devil, maybe you aren't susceptible to some of the outright sins that, you know, conservative kind of people would not give into. Maybe you turn against those ills. But Satan would be just as happy if he could get you to believe the wrong thing about God. And so we need to have a process within us that fights against those wrong thoughts regarding God, that fights against that intellectualism and such. I want you to listen to what one author says. He says, wisdom may best describe our present scientific and cultural plateau. Yet spiritually, we are foolish indeed. Many men seen as wise in the eyes of the world are fools in the eyes of our God. Now, I want you to think about that. You know, some of these people we see on TV that are hailed as great scientists or great philosophers, my friend, they are fools in the eyes of God. The only thing that makes somebody wise is what they believe about this book. A person can know everything about engineering or science or whatever it may be, medicine, but if he doesn't believe this book, then the psalmist says that he's a fool. If he doesn't believe in God, he says that he is indeed a fool. He says the atheist who audaciously affirms, "I know there is no God," is elevated upon the pedestal of intellectualism and wisdom by the world of pseudoscience, that's false science. Yet God calls him a fool. Humanists who deny the existence of sin and contend that one's conduct should best be determined by the circumstances in which he finds himself are applauded and lauded as wise men of our age. But God, in no uncertain terms, has said fools make a mock at sin. The world cries out, "Do what makes you feel good. Do your own thing." But God has decreed, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." The rich farmer in the 12th chapter of Luke, he says, who found comfort in his accumulation of worldly goods, would be seen by many among us today as a wise man indeed. But God called him a fool. He says, "How does God see you, my friend?" He says, "I'd rather be a fool in the eyes of a foolish world than a fool in the eyes of my all-wise Creator." My friend, you need to have an imagination check that goes through and makes sure that that intellectualism, wrong thinking about God, is not creeping into your soul. And it's hard, because our favorite actors or actresses or people who are popular in the culture today, they get on and they say something that goes against God. And my friend, if you're not careful, you'll be tempted to follow that line of reasoning, and that'll be the foothold that Satan uses to gain control of your mind. You know, fight against that intellectualism that goes against the Word of God. James chapter 4, 6 and 7, when you think about the pride and the arrogance of those people who say, there is no God, you know, we all arrived here by evolution. Listen to what James chapter 4 says. "He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Listen, I don't want to be resisted by God, amen? I want to be accepted and be given His mercy and grace. And the only way that happens is if I'm humble before Him. Don't let intellectualism creep into your life. And then lastly tonight, uh, Another thing I want you to develop in your life, not just understanding that it's spiritual weapons, not just developing that imagination check that runs through your thought processes and points out anything that exalts itself against God, but also I want you to try to develop in your life a thought capture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the last part of that says, "And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You know, not long ago, I can't remember exactly when it happened, but, you know, I think it was after church service, something had gone on. I know I had just sat down on the sofa and just began to kind of relax, watching TV, probably watching Fox News, Pastor Eric, but I heard a sound in the kitchen, and it sounded like someone had launched an RPG into the kitchen. There was an explosion in there. And of course, I sprung to my feet to see what was the matter. I went in there, and there was glass all over the counter, all over the cabinets, all over the microwave, all over the stove, all over the floor. And there my wife was standing, and she said, "The glass bowl broke." It was one of these big crystal bowls that someone had given us for a wedding. In fact, she said we had two of them. She was trying to find the other one so I could bring and show you. But I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever seen something make as big a mess as that glass bowl did. Now, bless my wife's heart. She cannot see. That's why she married me. If you don't know, Sister Marie wears heavy-duty contact lenses. I think they're the same size they put in the Hubble telescope. You know, I mean, she can't see a thing, and we knew there was no way she was going to be able to get all that glass up. And so I said, "Sweetheart, just go into the living room and let me work here." And I began the process of trying to get all of that glass up. And I'm telling you, it was everywhere. I'm sure there were millions of pieces of glass. But you know what? It was crucial, it was important that I get every piece of glass. Because I didn't want my wife walking through the kitchen and step on a piece of glass that I missed, you know. Or for Kara, it's even more, you know, now. I don't want Kara to be running through the house and slip and get cut on a piece of glass. But I swept up all of those pieces and put them into the dustpan. You know, that's the idea that I want you to picture here when we talk about bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Taking all of those thoughts that just run wild in our mind and not just allowing them just to run wherever they want, but to bring them under control, to place them under the obedience of Christ. That's what we need to do. Now, a more recent story. The other day, I heard another crash. It wasn't as loud as the glass bowl one. But it was a bowl just like this. And my wife and I, we thought that these were break-proof, you know. In fact, we've even dropped them before. But I don't know what happened, but Kara knocked hers off the table. And I mean, it made a loud sound, and it just went everywhere. I mean, it just, and I tried to get Marie to let me break this one. I'm like, "How many do you have? Can I break that one?" She's like, no, you can't break that one." So, "Oh no, I won't do it. I'll hold on to it tight." But it went everywhere, you know? And in the same way, I want you to get that picture in your mind. And this, I know probably you've dropped things before and you've had a similar experience where you had to sweep up all of that mess. You know, that's what we need to do with our thought process. Unfortunately, what many of us do is that we just let it just stay wherever it wants to be. And even though those thoughts are harmful, as we walk through and allow ourselves to be in the presence of those thoughts, they damage us, and they create problems in our lives, and they allow the enemy to take control of our mind. You know, tonight you need to develop in your life thought capture. Don't allow thoughts just to run wild in your mind. You can control what you think about. You do not have to think about those things that displease God. You know why we think about them? Because we want to think about them. And what we need to develop in our life is the kind of trust in God that realizes those things that He's told us that we need to take out of our life, that He knows best, and we need to take those things out of our life. I hope that tonight you'll develop a thought capture that will allow you to take back control of your mind. You know, Romans 13:14 says this, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I've told you the story before, but I love this little story. The author says, some people fall into temptation, but a great many, I hope it's not you, make plans for disaster ahead of time. Son ordered a father, "Don't swim in that canal." "Okay, Dad," he answered. But he came home carrying a wet bathing suit that evening. "Where have you been?" demanded the father. "Swimming in the canal," answered the boy. "Why did you?" the father asked. "Well, Dad," the boy explained, "I had my bathing suit with me, and I couldn't resist the temptation." "Why did you take your bathing suit with you?" his father asked. "So I'd be prepared to swim in case I was tempted." Now, humorous, isn't it? I hope his father gave him a good beating. Amen? But you know, don't we do the same thing in our life? We know that we have a problem with that certain thing, and yet we put ourselves in a position, whether it's the plays, whether it's on TV, a certain channel, or whatever it is, or maybe it's on the radio, or maybe it's some other kind of thing, or being with a certain person, you know, we're tempted, and we make provision for the flesh. You know, make sure tonight that you don't allow that to take place in your thought process. You can control what you think about. You don't have to allow those thoughts to run wild. Paul says, bring them into captivity. Create thought capture in your life. One last illustration tonight, and I'll be done. As you think about the battle for the mind, it's important that you guard on all fronts. It's important that you make sure that you are able to... It's important that you make sure that you don't allow the enemy to have a foothold or a place where he can attack you. Listen to this illustration. Aquaba, I think I'm saying it right, in 1917 seemed impregnable. Any enemy vessel approaching the port would have to face the battery of huge naval guns above the town. Behind Aquaba, in every direction, lay barren, waterless, inhospitable desert. To the east lay the deadly anvil of the sun. The Turks believed Aquaba to be safe from any attack. Do you understand? They thought that this was an impenetrable fortress. But it wasn't. Lawrence of Arabia led a force of irregular Arab cavalry across the anvil of the sun. Together, they rallied support from among the local people. And on July 6, 1917, the Arab forces swept into Aquaba from the north, from the blind side. A climatic moment of the magnificent film Lawrence of Arabia is the long panning shots of the Arabs on their camels and horses, with Lawrence at their head, galloping past the gigantic naval guns that were completely powerless to stop them. Why were they completely powerless? Because the guns were facing in the wrong direction. Aquaba fell and the Turkish hold on Palestine was broken to be replaced by the British mandate and eventually by the state of Israel. You know, in the same way, we have to be careful that we guard our mind on all fronts. Don't think that you're impervious or safe from attack on any angle. Make sure that on a regular basis, you're reminding yourself that this is a spiritual warfare and it demands spiritual weapons. Take up the armor of the Lord so you're ready to fight the enemy every day. And then also develop in your life that imagination check. Don't allow some reasoning to come into your mind that would cast down what God has told you in His Word and what God has set forth for us. Don't allow those conflicting philosophies to gain a foothold in your mind. Don't let that proud intellectualism creep into your life. And then develop that thought capture. Don't allow those shards of bad thoughts just to run wild in your life where you're going to step on them and damage yourself and hurt yourself. But bring them into captivity. Control what indeed you're thinking about. You have a choice of what you allow your mind to dwell on. But lastly tonight, if you're here tonight and you've not received God's gift of salvation, turn, if you will, to one more passage in 2 Corinthians for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ to save you, I'm afraid you'll never win the battle for the mind. You'll never be able to regain control of your mind. And let me explain to you why it is that if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, you've already lost the battle for the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul tells us, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the what? The minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My friend, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, then there's no help of you winning the battle for the mind, because your mind has been blinded by the enemy. Tonight, if you've never accepted God's gift of salvation, you need to come, get it settled tonight, trust Him as your only way to heaven, and then you can begin using those spiritual weapons so that you can win the battle for the mind. I hope tonight that you will indeed allow your life to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind.